Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 48 of the Pico Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emelson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week was a pretty busy week for the raiding community. Mythic opened, and the race to world first officially began. So that is going to be the main topic of our show today. But before we get into that, we had some other stuff happen this week that we want to talk about first.
Yes. So we had a couple of I guess big posts and more hot fixes, right? I think we're still in sort of hot fix mode. So we got some interesting changes to Torghast. I think is what we want to start with, which was we got buffs to Torghast. So they increased, I think, the health mobs had if you zoned in as healer or tank spec.
Yes.
And then not immediately, but later on that week, so it was like I think a Monday or Tuesday, by Thursday or Friday, they had substantially nerfed Torghast.
Yeah.
So like across the board.
Did you do Torghast while those buffs were in place?
I did. It was, I mean, to be fair, like as a Mistweaver, I got, I think my one level 8 run, I ended up with a bunch of like the blackout kick hits multiple mobs trait, along with just blackout kick damage buffs, RSK damage.
Yeah.
So I was able to like one shot or two shot most mobs. I think the boss didn't hold an issue. And then the next one, I got the Vivify trait.
Yeah.
So I just healed myself. And it was like, so to me, it didn't change much, but I also got very lucky in terms of like a couple of stacks of good traits.
I was trying on Tuesday to do Torghast. Layer 7. I got 5 stacks of the Vivify trait.
Nice.
And just blasted my way through, easy peasy, not an issue. I was playing Brewmaster, so like I just ran around, couldn't die, spamming Vivify. Like there is, like you can't run out of mana as Brewmaster because you don't have any in the first place. So it's exactly, real easy.
Yeah.
And then the next run, the layer 8, I got like not a lot of great powers in the first couple floors, and I got to this boss of the second floor, and it was one of the casters that just chain casts.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what Staggered doesn't help against?
Magic damage.
Magic damage. I mean, it technically does, but it's really bad.
Yeah.
So I just literally couldn't kill it. It would kill me before I got into Touch of Death range, and because it was all magic damage, like Niazhao wasn't doing any damage. I had a bunch of random powers that, like, I had some like Touch of Death cooldown reduction, which is good, but yeah, if he never gets into Touch of Death range, I can't use it.
Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up just like wiping on that floor a bunch, and then starting another run. This time it's Windwalker, because I was like, you know, at least if I play Windwalker, I can just press all my cooldowns and delete things.
Right, yeah.
And I got really all the way to the very end, and it was the blob boss.
Oh.
And almost killed it. I got it down to where it should have been in Touch of Death range, but the button didn't light up. And just, like, died. And
yeah.
It was... I basically wasted like an hour and a half trying to do two runs and didn't get anything. And
that sucks.
Yeah. But that was, I think, so I did one more set of runs before the nerfs went out, or at least all of the nerfs. Some of the nerfs were in, just a couple of them. The first like two or three that they did, they staggered them throughout. And I did it in a group of 3, and it was so easy.
Yeah.
I have not gone back in since the rest of the nerfs went in. But, like, doing them with 3 people, it was, like, me as Brewmaster plus 2 DPS was just unbelievably easy.
Yeah, I know a bunch of my friends they've been starting, like, their own Torghast groups, so it's been, like, very much a, like, 3-person similar deal where it's, like, tank, DPS, and healer. Or like a tank and 2 DPS. They were crushing it earlier on in the week. I'm assuming they'll continue to crush, you know,
yeah,
towards the end now. So
like I think that was definitely the play when it was harder and just kind of nobody really like Torghast solo, if you got not great luck on powers, was actually like a huge crapshot early in the week. It was just like, if you got good powers, you were golden. If you didn't, good fucking luck.
Yeah, you're
but if you were in a group, like the odds of all three of you getting crap powers and being useless are pretty low.
Yeah.
And you have a whole six floors to collect your powers, because if one person gets good powers early, that then lets you get to the later floors to try and get good powers on the other two people.
Yeah.
As opposed to where I got stuck on layer or floor two on my monk and just couldn't progress because the powers I got in the first two floors just weren't sufficient to beat the boss.
Yeah. And I was talking to Abe, and he was doing it too. And like, yeah, they ended up like, I think one level eight, he got two vivify traits as his first two powers. And he was like, all right, we're done. Like, we just win.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That was my layer seven run on my, my brewmaster.
Yeah. Well, the nice part about that is vivifying a group is that if you have renewing mist as a mistweaver, every cleave does damage. Cleave does damage. So it's not just main target. So it's like, you just delete things. So, yeah. But no, it's Torghast buffs and then nerfs. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking with Torghast. Like, Torghast being as hard as it was early on in the week, I don't agree with, because like, you need to do it from a progression perspective. We don't need to, but like, to max out your sort of like weekly chores, right? You have to complete the layer eights. And
yeah. And like, I was talking with some people about this. Like, I would have been fine with it being hard and like sometimes just randomly failing because I got bad powers.
Yeah.
If it were, there's two things. One, if it were shorter, when like a solo run takes an hour,
that's a like long time.
Having me fail at the last floor is just not okay.
Yeah.
Like that's too far. Something like if you played Hades, that's a roguelite that came out this year that's really good, very popular. I can do a complete run in 15.
Yeah.
It's totally, totally unreasonable to have it be an hour and then fail at the end.
Yeah.
And second, you can't reset Torghast. Like, you can't just decide, oh, I'm done with this run, I'm gonna go and try for new powers. Like, I understand they don't want people like taking that first anima orb and then like, oh, these are bad powers, running out and resetting.
Yeah.
But like, on my monk, I went to the second floor, and then when I came back in as Windwalker, like, every single anima cell dropped the same powers as the ones I just had. Like, it's like they don't reset until you either complete one or presumably some kind of, like, timer.
Yeah, that's weird.
But
well, I know, I believe the starting ones are, like, set for the week, or, like, at least until you do the completion.
Okay. Like, the fact that you can't reset, like, I've had Hades runs where I get, you know, to the second area, and my build sucks, everything's dying super slow, I'm dying real quick, and just like exit out of it. Like, I can go and start another one, and that's fine, and that's part of the genre too, that, you know, sometimes you will fail, but give us a button to push that gets us out of there so we can start another one.
Yeah. And even, I mean, yeah, I mean, it would be cool if you could reset, even if it was in terms of like the weekly stuff you have to get done. If you, well, you wouldn't have any like Soul Ash to like refund. So I think you could do something like you'd refund like the Soul Ash you got from that run, but it doesn't make sense because you're still.
If you get the Soul Ash, you've completed it. Like, if it were just like, you know, when you reach the second floor, like, you can get through the first floor with literally anything. You don't need anything special for that. But if you get to the second floor, like, then just having a button that, you know, end the run.
At least get through like one floor and then allow the reset.
And that's the kind of thing where, you know, that means you can't just immediately reset it if your powers suck. You got to spend at least some time working through the first floor. But I honestly don't even think it would be a problem if we could just reset until we got the powers we wanted on the first one.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I'm going to sit there for 45 minutes trying to roll the perfect power on the first anima cell.
Yeah.
But if people want to do that, more power to them. That sounds awful to me.
Just let them in. Yeah, let them do it. Yeah. No, for sure. But I mean, I think I haven't done it after the hot fixes. So
I haven't done it.
I mean, I'm assuming not that it's easy, but I feel like you can essentially, like any build makes it through that, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to get the Vivify traits as like a brewmaster, or, you know, you don't have to get even as a Mistweaver, right? You can do it with pretty much anything. So
yeah. And one of the issues that Torghast has had, and I'm not going to belabor this one too much because this is a Monk podcast, but the difficulty of Torghast, like the variance in difficulty of Torghast especially, varies widely from spec to spec. Or like for Brewmaster, if you get a lot of Touch of Death plus max HP powers, or you get the Vivify powers, it's super easy.
Yeah.
And those are two like very viable builds. The Vivify powers are common. It's very straightforward to put something together that actually clears the tower successfully.
Yeah.
If you are like a rogue or a priest, there's a very small list of powers that are actually good.
Right.
And so if you don't get those, you're just kind of going with your just like baseline player power. And that's very hard.
Yeah. And it's even between like specs, like I've seen like warriors, like I have a friend that's a warrior and like he wiped on like a level, like a layer 6 on the last boss, like 3 or 4 times, killed it with his last death. I think it was like as arms, right? Or fury, one of the DPS specs. And then the next week, 7 opened up, did set. We were like, you should just try it as prot. It might be easy as prot, and literally crushed it as prot. Like just because they get some town where like Thunderclap heals them or something ridiculous. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, like it just seems like even introspect, like in between the same class but different specs have like somewhat easier and harder, you know.
And I think that's why they just blanket nerfed it. They were like, we cannot fix this level of variance before people just stop doing it, like just quick Torghast. So they were like, let's nerf it, let people do Torghast next season. They'll try and get more good powers for the specs that need them and make that better.
Well, that like, I mean, Torghast is to build your legendaries, right? So like they want people to complete it. It's not supposed to be it's not like a mage tower, right? Like it's not like supposed to be like some difficult piece of solo content.
You saw the interview, right? Ian was like, layer 8 is supposed to be like a mythic plus 15.
What? Like, why? Like, in what?
I don't know why either, but I have not timed to 15 yet.
No, and I've crushed my 8s. I have died in both layer 8s I did. I can remember it vividly. I died twice.
Yeah.
In one run. The other one I cleaved didn't die once, but the first one I did, I died twice because I literally got the roll talent where you put like chi wave on everything, and I just rolled through like 2 packs and then was like, all right, I'm gonna vivify them, and like I went to hit vivify and just died, didn't even get it off, ended up dying. And I might have gotten it off, but it was the one with the little skeletons that explode, so I killed like 5
so
or
you
6
killed those and immediately one shot you
on top on top of me. So like I was an idiot on both, like both of those things were very similar, like I rolled in
that's
packs, but like
also that roll chi wave power sucks. I hate it.
I just like it because it makes me like just roll. Like I'm just like, all right, I'll just roll into this and maybe get a little bit of damage, but yeah, it's not that good. But that's the only time I died. So like, and I also have yet to complete a 15. So it's like, Ian, bud, like where is your head at with this? Like,
Which I mean, like in fairness, we do have a power that completely trivializes the tower. Like you just stack that, you get even one copy of that common Vivify power and like you're golden. All you need. Like you get multiples and you are high rolling.
Yeah. That and then you get like the do less frost damage but increase your crit and you're just like, love it. Huge fan. Like I don't care about frost damage. So
yeah. And then you get one of the powers that does like a bunch of frost damage and you're like, why did I take this?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you gamble. but yeah, I mean I haven't done it yet. Hopefully it's easier. We'll see.
Yeah.
It'll be cool. So yeah, so that's Torghast buffs and then nerfs. There was a couple of bug fixes this week. I mean, I think primarily they were Mistweaver ones. I looked through. I didn't see anything for Brews or Windwalkers, but Mistweaver's got 2 fixes this week, actually. I only put one in the notes, but there's a second one. So the first one is they finally fixed our statue after trying to fix it before. So fun fact before is if you took Yulan and cast Yulan as our 3-minute Celestial, and then you place down Jade Serpent statue, it can spawn Yulan.
Yeah, Brewmasters had the same issue with Black Ox statue and Invoked Nuzao last expansion.
Gotcha.
And there was a point in time where you wanted to run both Zul in particular, and you couldn't. Because as soon as you placed the second one, you would cancel the first. So you just ran Black Ox statue.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. So that got fixed around then, so it didn't need fixing in Shadowlands.
Nice, yeah. So they didn't fix it for us. So they fixed it, but the way they fixed it was they basically, however they fixed it, it allowed you basically cast up to 5 statues, but only the first statue would heal. So what people were not realizing, particularly in dungeons, is you'd put one down when you first pack, you'd pull, you heal, and then like you'd go forward in the dungeon, put another one down,
wouldn't heal.
It's like, why is this not healing? And then you keep doing it, and like it never would heal unless you canceled the original one. It became an issue. So they finally ended up fixing that bug. So now you can play statue, it'll despawn your old statues, and you'll be fine. So that was done. They also fixed our, Clouded Focus Legendary, which is the one where, as you channel Soothing Mist, if you cast Vivify, you gain a stacking buff that both increases the power and reduces the mana cost of Vivify and Enveloping Mist together. While you're channeling Soothing. The fun one about that was that what they did was they only checked if the channel of Soothing ended. So if you're channeling another ability and cast it, say, Vivify, you gained a stack of the buff. So you can essentially buffer it, and you could basically cast Spinning Crane Kick, then cast Vivify, and gain a stack. And it didn't drop immediately when Spinning Crane Kick ended. So as long as you just Spinning Crane Kicked and Vivified every 8 seconds, you could keep that buff up indefinitely.
That's very, very, sounds very broken. So could you get to free Vivifies?
Not free. So it only stacked to 3. So okay. That was like 75% reduction, but that's still a huge amount of mana reduction. And it's on Enveloping too. So essentially you could you could use Enveloping a lot more. That finally got fixed. Fun fact, that literal bug has been in the game since the Legendary was released. So we found that out very, very early on. We've been reporting it, and they finally fixed it, you know, this first week in Mythic. So the only Mistweaver I know of that had used that Legendary was Living, used it on BDGG's Kel'Thas kill. However, he did not exploit it much as he could have, I'll say.
Okay.
There was a couple of he'd stack it up at the start of a phase, not to call him out about it, but I mean, ultimately he didn't really abuse it and still crushed. So,
That seems like good legendary for that fight anyway. Soothing Mist onto Kel'Thas and blast him.
Yeah, I mean, and generally it's strong on that fight. And it probably strong across, like a little bit stronger than we think it is. But yeah, that getting hot fix is a good thing because we've been... I mean, it would have been one of the probably the best legendary if you wanted to take advantage of the bug. But
Yeah.
I didn't see anything else monk-wise in terms of like hot fixes this week for either Bruise or Windwalkers, except for there was a couple of anima power things for Brewmasters, but didn't seem like anything big.
I don't remember those. They nerfed the Vivify again.
I'm sorry, it was like stack changes. It was like this only stack to like 4 now instead of like 10 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless they changed the Vivify power, I don't care.
Yeah, no, they didn't. No. And the only other thing that I wanted to highlight this week was they were doing a lot of stealth hotfixes to mythic bosses. So a lot of, there was some changes to Sludge Fist at the start of the week. And then as Complexity and Echo were getting closer to kill it, there was a bunch of stealth hotfixes to Stone Legion Generals. And then now we just got a couple of hotfixes that went live. I think it was either this morning or yesterday to Sire Denathrius. Like Blizzard is sort of like doing the thing that they maybe this is the first time we're actually like reporting on it because of all the focus, but it sounds like they're doing a lot of like in week changes to bosses, which is good. Like I think the idea of making changes once you see how guilds are approaching it, the amount of damage and health that they have, and what sort of certain classes are capable of, makes it so the fights end up probably being better. Although we can talk about this in sort of as we get into it, but the Stone Legion General's attempts are hilarious because there are some fun little wonky things going on in that fight. So
I've actually not watched any Stone Legion General's progression. I watched a bunch of the Sludge Fist though.
Stone Legion's, when we get into it, I'll tell you. I'll point out some of the funny stuff that's happening there.
This is the third set of most of the Sire Denathrius buffs are just to the AoE damage. That's all they hit. Basically it, except for there's Impale, which is in phase 2, that's where the sword charges people, needs a bleed. the initial hit got buffed. That's everything else is just like AoE damage buffs.
Yeah, more AoE damage in it. Yeah.
And that's exactly the Sludge Fist buffs were like that. Most of the Stone Legion generals buffs were also like that. So it's the same kind of thing. I think they might be realizing, you know, hey, the healers can put out more throughput in AoE than we were planning for. And right, we don't want them dropping to healers again.
Exactly. Like they did
on Ajara.
God, dude, that fight. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the scare, and that's what they, from what I noticed a lot of it, is just they want to keep it at about that 4 or 5 healer range. There's been a lot of 5 healed fights. Like,
yeah.
Stone Legions right now is being 5 healed, and Sludge Fist was 5 healed too, I believe, I want to say.
Yeah, and this is kind of tangential, but as we were preparing for this tier, we were trying to decide whether we wanted to go with 4 healers plus people that could flex heals, or go with 5 main healers on our roster.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to like recruit a 5th healer and have them sit on the bench most of the tier. Or, you know, right, even if it's not literally the same person the entire time, but have a healer out on every single fight.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather just have a core of 4 if they're all going to be 3 to 4 heal fights. And since they're ending up being 4 to 5, we made the right call in going up to 5 healers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, if you have 5 healers on your roster, you're in a really good spot. Because I think there's a lot, I mean, we've seen a lot of different class. Well, we'll talk about this, but I think the large majority, I think Denathrius ends up potentially being a 5 heal fight just based on the damage output. So, which means by the time like I get there, even you, like you get there, right, it's probably maybe dropped to 4.
Maybe.
But yeah, 5 to be safe, you know.
It's even like heroic Denathrius is pretty scary right now in some places.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, yeah. So Race to World First is this week. There's, unlike previous tiers, there's a lot of different streams. There's limit streams. There's, you know, you can go watch Max stream. There's actually a complexity like coverage stream
there
too.
Is, yeah.
Yep. Echo is streaming. BDGG's got one. OTK, that's Asmongold's Ord, has one. Yeah. Pieces has one. There's like a bunch of them, and they're not, you know, last tier there were like 5 that were all under the Method Race to World First umbrella, and that's not the case right now.
Basically every major team or org has their own like centralized stream, and then basically everybody that's playing is streaming, right? Like you can basically get any POV you want, they're streaming, which is cool, which is definitely interesting. So I don't know, have you watched much of the
coverage? I have watched almost no coverage.
Oh, really?
I have watched Max's stream.
Gotcha.
At the beginning of the week, while they were still doing mythics for the heroic box plus just like random stuff while they were preparing, I watched BDG stream, so I saw a little bit of coverage there, but other than that, I've just watched Max's stream.
Gotcha. It's been interesting. So I've watched a bunch of Complexity. I watched some BDG. I watched a little bit of Echo. I watched like an hour of OTK stuff. And I haven't seen anything of Pieces other than maybe like 10 minutes when I was like trying to think of other guilds that might do like a centralized thing. It's a lot of the same. I mean, like, to be fair, like you probably end up getting more out of these things if you watch specific players' POV, right? Like that plays either a role you're interested in, or, you know, like Max is actually pretty good in terms of like being able to see everything. Max is good just because you get Mavie's view for the most part. He plays a healer. And so like you get that sort of view plus, you know, it's Max sort of talking over it, and then the comms there are really good. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same. I think the only outlier here is like OTK stuff, because their Race for World First coverage, this is not a knock to them, but it's like secondary to like the circus they've built around it.
Okay. I had no idea this existed.
Yeah. So typical like OTK fashion, like an Asmund, and a lot of what he does is like, it's very much like sort of focused on WoW, but a lot of it is like focused on doing other things. So they had a pinata made for every boss. So every time a boss died, they
beat up the pinata.
Yeah, they did. They brought in animals at some point for like a petting zoo type thing. It's just been weird stuff. Like, people love that type of stuff because it's like, they have like the actual like boss fights in like a small corner of the screen, and they do get other things. Yeah, but they do mostly other stuff, which is, I mean, honestly, if you were there for the entertainment value, it is much more interesting to watch that than watch like people be like, all right, well, here's pull 150. Maybe they'll get 4% more this time.
Yeah, like, you know, I was not sitting there watching Max Raid Lead Sludge Fist progression because I enjoyed watching them die on Sludge Fist repeatedly. Yeah. It was because I wanted to take notes.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's the OTK stuff has actually been, it's been a breath of fresh air in terms of like what they're doing. It's cool. It's just not like not for me in terms of what I want to watch, but yeah, more power to him because I think it's cool. I think it's like an interesting take on the Race for World First stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty standard other than there's just a lot of it now, right? Like instead of having the, like you mentioned, like the method mainstream and like complexity of their thing last time, right? It's now like every org's got their own. They're all doing their own stuff and it's all really good. Like BDDG being like the newcomers here, you can say, right? Their stream stuff is like on point. Like graphics wise, production wise, like they look really good. They got some really good people talking over it too.
Yeah, I noticed a couple of people talking on coverage there that were on Method stream last year. So they got some top talent.
So it's all been really cool. So, but yeah, I mean, check it out. I mean, honestly, go to the WoW section. It's literally any of the top links there will bring you to somebody streaming it. So, no, it's cool. All right. So, I mean, that's initially, I mean, it sounds like you just watched a little bit of it. I've watched a lot, unfortunately, like weirdly enough, it's been on in the background as I've been working and stuff like that. So
yeah, I can't focus if I have it on. So I have to do it while I'm not working.
Gotcha.
Which means basically the first day I missed almost all the kills. I watched some of their Zymox.
Zymox.
That was cool. And then I caught some of the Kael'thas stuff.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then a bunch of Sludge Fist. That's what they spent most of the week.
Yeah. Gotcha. I've been watching a little bit on and off, and it's cool to watch them go through like progression in terms of like strategy and then like seeing in like at least a hyper focused way, like them dropping, like them getting better and better as it goes on, right? Yeah. So like you can tell like very similar to like my own progression or how I like when we do fights in my guild, it's like you can tell it's gonna be a good pull. Because like you get past that one part, everyone's alive, no battle reses. You're like, just do this last thing right, or do these last two last things right, and we got it. And like you can sort of feel it building. So I mean, Sludge Fist was very much like that. I actually watched their kill live, and it was like, all right, third pillar down, no battle reses used, everybody's alive, like they're pumping, and then it's like they hit that fourth pillar, one person dies. It's like, it's okay, battle res will be okay. Like I'm like screaming at my monitor, like with them. So it's like, I don't know. That's the cool thing about it is like, if you watch enough of it, like you sort of get excited no matter who it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. Yeah. I was definitely cheering for them. And really for anybody. I mean, like I like people like progressing and seeing that type of stuff. So it was cool to watch that live. So, but yeah, nothing new. I mean, other than OTK's crazy stuff, like everything else is like, if you've watched the last Race for World First, you've seen most of what they've done this time. So
yeah. I would say, especially if you're in like an officer leadership kind of position in the guild, watch Max's stream. It is just like phenomenal. Like obviously Limit as a whole is extremely good. Like that's not news to anybody, but a lot of raid leaders could learn a lot of things from the way Max does it. No, that's not like, that sounds like I'm throwing shade at my raid lead. But, you know, other guilds I've raided at in the past, like, the guild I raided in, end of Legion, beginning of BFA, had a kind of a rager for raid lead. And, like, the way that, even when people do really dumb stuff, the way Max handles it is, like, fantastic.
Yeah. Now, yeah, his stream is really, really good. I watched a little bit of Scripe too. They have very different personalities.
Yeah, they
very
do.
Interesting to see. Those two guilds are run so differently. Like Echo talks so much about like the littlest things, but the interesting thing is they talk so much and then they sit down and do it. Yeah. It's very weird, like where like a lot of people be like, all right, we'll talk about this, we'll get a bunch of reps in, we know we're gonna wipe, but we'll at least get some practice on how to do this. Like they'll sit and they'll be like, all right, we're going to do this, this, and this. First attempt, sit down, do this, this, and this, like perfectly. Yeah. So yeah, it's cool to see, and like limits the exact, not exact opposite, but different in terms of like, they will continue to do something and like make changes as they're doing the pull. Right.
Yeah.
So people get practice. So yeah, it was cool. It's been a cool experience. Like watching all this. I love this time. This is love. Wow. So this is like the best time to like, wow.
Speaking of things we've seen on stream, I saw something on stream that I was never expecting to see in a world first race. Let's be real. Windwalker in Limits Raid on Sludgefest, a pure single target fight with a strict DPS check, and they were playing Windwalker.
And they were doing really good. Not just playing it, like fucking crushing it, dude. Like, crushing. Dude, I had this debate with my friends, and we'll talk about this in a second, but Trill is honestly the best World of Warcraft player in the world.
I had never heard of him before this raid.
He has won BlizzCons for PvP, like always highly ranked, like rank one, like gladiator type style, like competes in that AWS, like the Arena World Championships, right? And then crushes it in Limit, like in terms of like world first rating. Like he generally has played a rogue in other tiers, but yeah, I mean, I think Windwalker was like his first big class, or the class that I think he enjoys the most, at least. So,
got you.
Yeah, Trill, dude, on the win. Like, Trill just loves World of Warcraft, and like, just dude is just so good. But yeah, a wild Windwalker.
Yeah, I was blown away, and so like, that actually ties into Limit is not running a Brewmaster. They actually might have switched to it. I haven't paid attention since they killed Sludgefist, but up until Sludgefist, their comp was, I think, Vengeance and Warrior.
Yeah, Warrior. Yep.
And, like, obviously that covers two raid buffs. That gets you the magic debuff, which is extremely important. That is the most important. And then it gets you Warrior Shout. So those are both valuable, but I think Warrior, as a tank, caught a lot of people by surprise, because they had been kind of memed on as really losing a lot coming out of BFA, not being in a super great state. And obviously some of that was just people complaining because they lost the Avatar Smash Thunderclap for 20 seconds, top the damage meters thing from Deafening Crash. Yeah. And the anger management changes meant that you have to play it differently now, so...
It's interesting to see, because like I've been looking. So one other thing I guess we didn't really mention, but like Warcraft Logs has done their race for world first thing where you can actually see like progression, which has been really good. So I've been like clicking through bosses and just looking at like tank comps, or really just comps in general, but tank comps in particular. And it's been literally almost exclusively DH and Brewmaster, except for Limit, and except for a couple other, like I think
I think if you don't have a Windwalker on hand, a Windwalker or a Mistweaver on hand to fill that slot, and I don't even know if you can put Mistweaver in on some of these fights with how they're using damage reduction cooldowns.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a Windwalker paired, like I don't think you can drop the Brewmaster because of the importance of damage deep.
So. Yeah, and that's literally been the only time they haven't had a Brewmaster tank has been a Windwalker DPS. Yeah. So yeah, it's mostly been that sort of a split, I think we had talked about this a little bit. We expected like Brewmaster and probably DH as sort of the top two, with like Feral being sort of dropped to the side just because they're, you know, potentially not as good, or they don't really bring anything unique to the race.
Guardian Druids are a lot better in Mythic Plus than they are in Raid right now.
Gotcha. And then Blood Decay doing zero damage. Always an issue.
They got buffs, but not enough.
Yeah. And then Prot was sort of that like in the middle, like nobody really knew what to do with them. So yeah, Prot, like, because Darky's playing it, right? For
I think Lady, it's, I guess, Darky playing Prot, and then Scott. Formerly of Isis, I think, playing
Tank comps have been that's been, I think, the biggest surprise. It's funny, it's been the biggest surprise because of the Windwalker, not because of the actual tank changes, right?
I mean, there are some things. So one of the things that's actually caught me by surprise this expansion regards to Brewmaster. So like Brewmaster, well, you may not be aware, but they added in BFA scaling to stagger. So like agility increases the amount that you stagger. Mm-hmm. And it functions very similarly to armor. So you will reach basically a soft cap, at which point adding more agility does very little. And in BFA, like every tier, you could soft cap before even setting foot in, like very easily. It was hard not to. But with the reduced rate at which we get gear, as well as this being the first tier, like the first tier was the worst for it in BFA, but this being the first tier, I am like I level 204 now and well below the soft cap. So I have like 65% stagger out in the world. It's going to drop to like 60% in mythic, if that. So it's actually like Brewmaster historically has done so well because they do well with little gear because of how strong stagger is. But now that gear is so big for giving you stagger, that's no longer the case.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I can tell that like our Brewmaster in general that we have in our guild has been getting hit a lot harder than our Prot Warrior in terms of just like
shield block, like, is real good.
Yeah, and just in terms of like damage intake, like there are like Sire to Nathru specifically, like going through the mirrors is like the scariest time ever as a healer, because like not only do you have like going through the mirror and a little bit disorienting, right? Because you have to sometimes move right afterwards. You also have like targeting delays where like it'll show in range of my raid frames, but I won't be actually able to heal them.
Yeah.
And then they will die in like the two or three seconds it takes to like get through, plant my feet, heal. And
yeah,
like,
I have a cooldown or Celestial Brew up for every single time we go through the mirror.
It's scary.
Because you need it. It's spooky. Like the healers aren't healing because they're running away. And when he teleports to you, he does an extra auto attack. And like auto attacks are real big.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the tanking comps have been, it's been pretty standard, but I think it's interesting now. Like, yeah, we have in the number one team right now running, you know, Warrior DH with a Windwalker in terms of melee DPS. I mean, other DPS, you know, sort of comp wise, I think it's been maybe not unheard of, like a lot of Unholy DKs.
Not a lot of surprising things. Like Unholy DK does a lot of damage and also brings anti-magic zone. Is a great raid cooldown. It's another damage reduction.
Yeah, and grips. Grip is they're surprisingly really good. Like a lot of
ads. Is that really surprising though? It's every tier.
That's true.
Because I think the worst they've ever been in like recent memory is Nilotha, because there is only like one fight that you wanted the grip on.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, so I mean, in this tier though, there's at least what, two or three bosses.
There's like Kael'thas, they're pretty good on Council. Grips are, mm-hmm. They're good on Stone Legion generals.
Yeah, Huntsman. Yeah, for the little ads.
I think it really depends. I don't think you can grip anything on Sire to Nathru, at least on Heroic. I don't know if you literally can't, or if it's just something we haven't needed to because it flies so fast on Heroic.
Yeah, I don't think the ads are movable. Similarly, like the Enerva, like the Darkvein ads, I think
they don't look
rooted. Yeah.
So it's not like it's literally every fight, but like that's four fights that we just listed off of a 10 boss raid tier that grip is good off.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of those, they've been dominating, I think, the melee. And then like range is hunters, boomkins, and warlocks, like it has been. I mean, other than I think mages sort of popped off in Nilotha, but there doesn't seem to be as many immunities now, and mages don't seem to be doing as much damage as other classes. So it's like hunters sort of fill that void. If you need an immunity, damage. So
they're an immune. Marksmanship's doing really well in terms of damage. Mm-hmm. Marksmanship's not the most mobile spec in the game, but it's more mobile than most other range specs. So
exactly. Yeah. So yeah, so DPS, I mean, pretty standard, but the Windwalker has been, like, Trill on Windwalker has been fun to see him play, so that's for certain. And then I think healer-wise, it's been the triumvirate we always thought it would. You have paladins and discs, of course, always.
And shamans for those spirit link totems. Shaman.
Yeah, well, spirit link and then their master. I mean, like, shaman early on in most expansions, shamans are pretty good just because, even on progression, right? Not just in general, but like very early on, shaman mastery is pretty strong. And shamans are doing a ton of healing. We talked about that. They did get a nerf going into Mythic Week. To both healing range, a general 4% nerf across all their healing.
Yeah.
So, it hurts, but I mean, to be fair, like the fights, there's still a lot of like, you can sit grouped up as a raid in a lot of these fights and not have to spread too much. So, and even if you do, it's more like conal abilities where like, as long as you make a nice little circle around the boss, you can all still sort of be in the healing rain. So, shaman, those three have been crushing it. There's been a couple of interesting things. Like, I haven't seen any druids, at least in like the top 10, but I know BDGG, like I mentioned earlier in Living, they ran a Mistweaver for a couple of early fights, like Kale and one or two other ones. So been a little bit breaking up, but I think Denathrius and right now Stone Legion generals are gonna be dominated by, multiple shamans, a disc and a paladin. So, Paladins ended up being a lot better than I thought they were going to be. So
I mean, Paladins still have AM.
That's true. Yeah,
their like, they have AM. I don't know whether they're running Glimmer or the Holy Light build in the first race, but got a couple different viable options for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very unlikely to see like multiple Paladins because of how poorly Devotion Aura like interacts.
Yeah, stacks. Yeah.
So
yeah. So yeah. So I mean, that was a. Yeah, healing comps were not a surprise. But I think if you look at in general, like as you start getting into like the world, like 50, 80, 100 range, like you'll start to see more diversity. I don't think there's a healing class that can't be brought to like a first kill, after maybe another like week or two of gear. So, but yeah, I mean, comps, I think the biggest thing I think that we were excited about was the Windwalker, right?
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
Other than that, comps sort of, pretty much stayed as is, as what we expected. So
absolutely.
So we just kind of talked about this, but the next thing I wanted to talk about is just like anything interesting you saw in terms of like notable like mechanic cheeses or like utilizing certain like a lot of like either that or like a lot of like reuse of certain mechanics, right? So we had like Tomb of Soak Garrus where there's a ton of soaks. Here we sort of already talked about this. There's a lot of like grip fights, like fights where you have adds, you want to grip in.
Yeah. There's also a lot of damage that goes out where you stack.
Yep.
Which makes SLT very good. There's also a lot of dots. A lot of dots. Yeah. Also dots that get applied to tanks, which please don't. Blizzard, please don't.
Yeah, it's been weird. There's a lot more like dispelling and so like primary stuff like that, and then also a lot of like ramping, not a lot of ramping phase damage, but damage that ramps the longer you sit in like a specific phase. So
yeah, I think Council is very notable for this as well. Like even on normal, if you try and pug it, you will run into this where if there's a phase where just not enough people have cooldowns up, you're gonna have a lot of stacks of the dance. And then in a normal pug where like you cannot rely on everybody to be doing great damage, those phases can go on for a while and put a large strain on your heal.
Yeah, I have a friend that's sort of hanging out in like a normal sort of progression guild just for fun, and she was like complaining. She was like, how do you heal through like 8 or 9 stacks on normal? I was like, you don't let it get that high.
Yeah, you kill it faster.
Yeah, so. You have to kill it faster. So, yeah, it's been, I mean, nothing too, I mean, the whole group up and then spread out sort of mechanics. I mean, while I enjoy all the fights, I think there is a little bit of, like, sameness coming in, like, more so than I've noticed with other tiers.
I mean, there's a lot, I noticed this on Heroic, there's a lot of things where it's just like, okay, the mechanic comes out, everybody's stacking the SLT. Everybody's stacking the barrier.
Yeah. It's very like telegraph damage wise.
Yeah.
Which makes it easy for like healers to do cooldown rotations, but I don't know if it's that exciting doing the raid. I will say though that the mechanic that I absolutely hate is Miasma from Hungary mm-hmm. Destroyer. It is the worst mechanic and debuff and just thing in the world, because, and I tweeted this, I was like, you're literally asking DPS who have limited to zero raid awareness anyway to now pay attention to health bars so that people don't die.
You use the weak aura that yells their HP.
It doesn't help. It doesn't,
yeah,
it
okay.
doesn't help.
At some point, like, if people aren't paying attention, they aren't paying attention, and there's nothing, no weak aura is going to help. But
I literally stand next to someone, my star over my head, it's like star 40, star 30, star 20, and there's like two people DPS just outside of the circle. So I can get into one and like die slower, but I can't get into two, so at least I stay like somewhat healthy. So yeah, it's been,
yeah,
we've done it. We did like a probably about 2 or 3 hours of that progression on Wednesday this week or Tuesday. It was hell on earth. It was like just stand, and then the best part, then we get like DPS who are just like, we put raid markers down because we did the four,
and they stand on the raid marker, even if
they stand on the, even though the raid marker's like, this is the general area, if you get star you should be in this area, they're literally on the star, which is like outside of melee range, so like all the melee are sitting there like, can you just please come in, like just take, they're like, I was on the star, I'm like, fucking mages, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm like that. Honestly, I can already tell this will probably be the fight that I dislike the most, and will probably never want to actually do past killing it once.
Yeah.
So, sorry, that was a lot in terms of like.
Yeah, I mean, I know I have plenty I could complain about. We haven't started Mythic yet because we spent all of Friday basically on Heroic Denathrius.
Gotcha.
And word to the wise. Do your goddamn prep for phase 3. That phase, we had some people in raid that were like, you know, once we get to phase 3, we get through the first set of soaks, everything's going to be fine. It's basically free. It is definitely not free. Do not underestimate that boss.
No. There's a lot of weird overlaps in that phase.
Yeah, like, I went into it and I didn't have a plan really laid out for phase 3. If you're tanking it, especially, the positioning in that phase, you have to be very precise because it's a small platform. The knockback knocks you pretty far, and if you knock people too far away, that they can't do the soaks and you instantly wipe. So you need to have very precise tank positioning for it, and so I would 100% recommend that you sit down with some kill videos and raid plan. Like, I could actually pull this up now. I have a detailed map of our entire Sire Denathrius phase 3 plan.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Let me pull this up. I think I have the stream still set up to allow me to do that.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Like, we're using the entire platform. It's all over the place. You can't tell what's going on from this because there's a bunch of text that goes with it. But, like, sit down, look at this fight before you go and try and progress it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know that it's funny, we got to like I think the time we killed it this week, it was like down to the final whatever, like the AoE thing. I forget what the AoE thing he does, that he pulls you in and then does it.
Yeah.
And like we literally had to run out and then like use immunes because we were out of raid cooldowns and we were on like the small section of the platform where like you need to have a raid cooldown or you die. So it's like, just use everything. Like darkness, AMZs, I don't even know if that works, but just hit every like defensive ability you can. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, the phase 3 is like not free. Like even at, because it's like you have the double soaks, which is terrible. Yeah. Right. And then you have the soak right after that.
The double soaks, actually, I think the double soaks are one of the easier ones because there's nothing else going on. You just got to get people to stand in them. It's the first soak set that I think is the dumbest because it takes, you have to have so many people soaking those.
Yeah.
But everybody gets sucked in to the boss immediately after they drop.
Yeah, so what we did was we
have
the
pull three mages, we have to ice block it. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They can't solo soak it, but they get that extra like crucial 5 or 6 ticks on it.
That gotcha.
Helps soak it.
Yeah, we did. We drop them in the middle so that they're close enough that if you're standing in it, you could drop an SLT in the middle. So yeah, like
we also did that.
And then we pull the boss to the side. So like you could do the pull in, and as you run out, you basically plant yourself in one of the soaks with an SLT on top of you. And that's generally enough. But yeah, that phase three has been, it's been fun progressing wise. But yeah, I mean, gosh, there hasn't been anything. Yeah, I mean, phase three is just nuts in terms of like all the different mechanics.
There are a couple of things that I saw on the streams and on some of the kills we've been looking at that are very interesting, I think. So one of them, if you saw, I mean, you saw Limits, World First on Sludgefist. They were using SLT and raid cooldowns to survive the part where Sludgefist slams into a wall and does like massive raid damage. And it like, if you don't basically stack every raid cooldown, it kills you in 3 or 4 ticks. But they were just like sitting there trying to heal through it with spirit links and AMs and trying to get that last little bit of damage out, which not something most people are going to have to do. Hopefully.
The loot, with the loot drops being a little bit lighter now, it might need it.
Hopefully not. Yeah. But that was one thing I saw. And then one of the other things I saw, have you seen prop paladin healing on Kael'thas?
I have not, but there has been some like rumblings. I've heard some rumblings from my guild specifically about potentially some cheese.
There is some really, really good cheese. So prop paladins have this talent called Hand of the Protector. Let me read you this talent, okay?
Okay.
Word of Glory's healing is increased by the target's missing health on any target. Okay. If you haven't played Protection Paladin, Word of Glory's healing is increased by up to 200% based on the target's missing HP.
Okay.
And, okay, now icing on the cake. Prop Paladin has the highest holy power generation of it.
So you just, spam that out.
So you literally, phase one, you hit wings, and you just go nuts. You never hit Shield of the Righteous. Your Kotank takes all of the damage, and you just blast Word of Glories into the boss. And they do triple healing, because he's low HP.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that'd be the play. That's ridiculous.
So... that's very good. I have a prop paladin that I've been working on that's behind my brewmaster, but not that far behind, and I might be playing that for Kael'thas. If that ends up being a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that seems real good.
And bonus, you get an extra lay on hands.
That's true. That's true, actually.
And prop paladin lay on hands is also better than holy paladin lay on hands because they have more HP.
Yeah. God damn. Yeah, it seems like a really good... paladins in general are good. Even Rhett can throw out some solid healing, I would assume too, but you'd be sacrificing damage for it, which might not be the best thing. But I had forgotten about it, but someone in my guild had mentioned like potentially running prot for that fight.
I think right now that's looking like the only fight I would run that on. But I mean, the number of Kael'thas kills is a lot smaller than the number of Hungering Destroyer kills right now. So
Yeah.
But if that helps us get an early kill, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, Hungering is just, ugh. I hate that fight.
That fight slaps, apparently. I haven't done it yet, obviously.
I don't know if... So here's the thing, is I don't know if it's so much damage or if it's just...
people not being healed.
The damage can't be healed, right? Yeah. Like, I think it's a combination of the two things, right? Where it is a lot of damage, and also the healing is so weird. But I mean, I don't like absorb fights like that in general. Like, I just don't. I didn't really like Unat when we did Unat. Like, I don't like this. It's just being a healer. It messes with me because like. You talk about like looking at the weak or right, but like as a healer, your eyes are generally in raid frame. So like, it's very difficult to correlate like, hey, this person's dying. I can't heal them directly. Then I have to look at my screen and see if they're the same icon I'm standing at. Right. And so to me, I know I'm complaining. It's a lot going on for me where like, and that's when I get into situations where I'm literally planted where I should be planted. And I have two DPS who literally can't take half a yard steps in so I don't die. And I'm like screaming at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then I have other DPS who are like standing on raid markers 40 yards away from the boss, like, hey guys, like, where's the melee here? No one's healing me. I'm like, have you been paying attention for the past 45 minutes? We know this boss. Hello? Like, please come here. I will heal you.
I have realized, especially from Sire Denathris, that I do much better when I have sat down and like mapped out the entire fight, so I knew what I'm doing at every point. And like I sat down on Friday because I was underestimated Sire Denathrius. I sat down and I mapped out Shriekwing Huntsman and Hungering Destroyer, and so those I know the fights now. I wish I had sat down and done Sire Denathrius too,
but that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I know we talked a little bit about this, but like, what is kind of like your favorite boss so far? Is it still, because we talked a little bit about this last week, but having done like two or three kills now, is it still like, have you changed that? Are you sort of high on now Artificer or a different boss? Like, do you like Kale now? Like, what's your?
Definitely not Kael'thas.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, honestly, I think it's still Sire Denathrius.
Yeah.
Fight's still really cool. Fight's still hard. I do not like the amount of just like dumb magic dots on this fight. Please, Blizzard, stop. Like,
yeah.
Okay, at least in phase three, the magic dot's actually not that bad. It's like 3k damage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty bad. But, it's not as bad as it could have been.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Sire just, I mean, Sire, like we talked about this, you go through a floor on Sire, so it's a good fight.
It's a good fight, therefore. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, therefore, good fight. But I dude, Artificer, I'm still really excited about to do on Mythic.
Yeah.
I think that's, and
honestly kind of dreading it.
Really?
The overlaps at the end is gonna be so disgusting.
I agree, but I still think it'll make for very interesting plays. Like have you seen the
gripping through stasis traps?
No. There's like a clip of I'm Fired Up, which is one of the mages in Limit, like doing some crazy like mage stuff on that fight where like he gets caught out doing one of the seeds, gets back to the group, ports back to the group, then they do the pull-in or whatever. And so he has to like do the pull-in and like does one thing, does like fox form, and then turns around. There's still a seed in the group. So he grabs the seed, blinks away, and ice blocks as is exploding to not kill the, like, it. It's like, and he's just like sitting there, just like staring at the camera, like, yeah, dude, this is kind of how I play the game. And I'm like, you just did like 40 things at once. So I think there's some interesting like ways to like play very well on those fights, and like,
yeah,
at least on that fight specifically, and like help your raid team, like very like personal things you can do versus like,
yeah. I mean, the main thing I'm concerned about is like, I'm going to have to sit down and look at where, like, there's an overlap between Glyph of Destruction and Seeds, or Glyph of Destruction and the Axe.
Yeah.
Because that happens on Heroic, it's really nasty. And I'm assuming it's going to happen on Mythic. And that's one thing that, like, if you're tanking that, you cannot wing, like, overlapping the Glyph and the Axe. Because you can't use the portal with everybody.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, so that would, I mean, I'm not a tank, so I don't have to worry about that. But that sounds like
you do when they stand on you with their glyph.
That's true. Ugh.
Or maybe you do stand on everybody and you just drop an SLT.
Oh, God, dude. I need to load my shaman. Yeah. Interesting, yeah. I mean, I think the raid in general has been real good. It seems to be, I mean, so the one thing we didn't talk about, I guess, is some of the bugs, right? So a couple of the interesting bugs that we've seen. So, I mean, I have one really big one on Stone Legion Generals, but I don't know if you've noticed anything weird in terms of, like, know
changes. They changed Sludge Fist twice this week.
Okay.
So now, they changed it. I think I might have mentioned this actually last week, because I don't remember when the extensions came out. But they changed Sludge Fist to where he... So before, he did the Zekul thing where this off-tank took whatever damage the main take took after absorbs a damage reduction. If you had a Brewmaster main tank, it like off tanked no damage because dagger. They changed that to where he hits both tanks for full damage.
Gotcha.
And well, I guess it's technically they didn't change it twice. When they changed it, we found out a couple days later that actually broke some things with off tank, because, for example, the off tank cannot dodge or cannot get Elusive Brawler stacks as a Brewmaster.
Oh.
So your mastery doesn't work. You're a Guardian Druid, you cannot use Earth Warden. It does not work. Like, it actually doesn't. So if you're Druid main tank, it's great. If you're Druid off tank, you use a different talent.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that was
interesting. Yeah, I mean, I know with Stone Legion Generals, the Wicked, was it Wicked Blade? Not Wicked Blade. What's the spinny thing that comes out? Is it Wicked Blade? Okay.
The thing that gets thrown in
like two people. Yeah. So I don't know if you realize on Mythic, there's like winds that sometimes push the whole raid, right? So if the wind is pushing the raid and a Wicked Blade goes out, sometimes the blade cannot hit the player because the player is moving.
Yeah.
And when it goes to where the player is, they've already moved, but they're not like moving their own character. They're like being moved by the server, by the wind. So there are clips of like the blade literally like going like this all around and then like finally hitting the player. And then like, then at that point it's been out for too long. So the raid's moved or the boss has moved. So it's like now hit the raid and everybody dies.
Yeah.
There's like multiple of those. I don't know if they fixed it yet, but like on Friday and like even yesterday, Saturday, there were still clips of like both Echo and Limit like having the same exact thing happen where like one of their players gets out and it just sort of like flies around them and then like eventually hits them and then hits somebody else and then ping pongs in. So
fun one on Stone Legion Generals, the boss has a very small hitbox and so is very fond of moving inside the tank.
Oh nice.
And if you are inside the boss's hip like model when the blade gets back, it hits you.
Oh.
And it cleaves.
Oh, that's not good at all.
It's very not good. So you do have to be careful with movement on that one. You have to like get to a good position, plant your feet when the blade goes out, and just not move until it comes back so that you can not cleave melee with the blade. If you cleave melee with the blade, it's probably a wipe.
Yeah, it's gonna be difficult when there's a wind that's pushing you automatically.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Like I haven't thought that far ahead. Honestly, Stone Legion Generals is a long way off on Mythic, so.
Yeah, no, I think I've actually seen that happen where I watched Limit die randomly to a blade coming back to the boss.
Yeah.
And it like it didn't go directly to the boss, it went to like the side and then hit. So it was like, I guess it was using like the old position of the boss and like the raid had moved into it. So yeah, I mean it's
that, I wouldn't that boss be surprised is super if they don't fix that, and the way you deal with it is you be very careful. Ads, because it's the winds come out with an ad is low HP.
Yeah.
And you just be extremely careful when you push those ads to load. Very controlled. And that's probably fine for world first guilds. I'm sure we could eventually kill it like that as my guild, like eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a really, really not good overload.
Yeah, so I mean that's some of the interesting things. The earlier ones I didn't notice anything too crazy. Like we had the bug week one on Huntsman earlier this week on Huntsman where the phase three pools didn't despawn. After we wiped. So we wiped in phase three and then went to pull it
and all never the despawned. Pools were still up.
All the pools we had laid had still been there. So we like, we'll pull it. We tried to reset it once or twice. And I think at that point we just turned around and did heroic because we were like, we're not gonna.
Yeah, you can't kill it if the room's already full of shit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's we had that happen to us at least in my guild. I don't know, summoning's still an issue. Like you can't summon in Mythic, or you couldn't. I don't know if you saw that. I see you haven't zoned in yet, but yeah, Mythic summoning still didn't work on Wednesday when we were in there. I don't know if they fixed that. So
yeah, that's gonna make like comps really annoying because like you swap someone for boss, they gotta walk. The instance is not small.
No, it's not. So we ended up just having people posted outside and like having to wait like the 5 minutes for somebody to walk in between. Normally we do it on trash as we swap, so it's been a little bit easier, but
yeah.
Like
what our normal approach is everybody that's in for a boss, once we kill it, stays in until we reach the next boss, and then they hearth out with some of the new people. And we have everybody in on trash.
Yeah. I mean that's generally how we've handled it, except with this
because it's still broken tonight. I mean, we'll have people during trash. But.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been, I mean, other than that, it's been fairly, I haven't noticed anything like that's been huge, right? In terms of, well, the other big bug that Limit ran into on Sludge Fist was the chain pull-ins. So like, He's got on Mythic.
Yeah, we actually ran into that. There's two bugs with that. So one of them, if you were immune, it would hit someone that wasn't immune twice with the Chain Slam. So if you like ice blocked inside the Chain Slam and it gripped you in, you wouldn't get hit. Someone else would get hit twice.
Right.
Which probably killed them. On Heroic, like you could sometimes survive it with a personal, but probably not. And then second, after the Chain Slam, sometimes the giant fists, the melee attack on the off tank, would hit someone that got Chain Slammed. And just like kill them.
And
like the raw autos are like 50k on Heroic. On Mythic, they're like 60 something. And most players do not have a effective HP.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I saw Limit do this once where if everybody can immune inside the Chain Slam, then it acts as like no one gets hit, which essentially is a raid wide AoE.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I mean that was actually interesting, yeah. So they did end up hotfixing that, I think.
Saturday I do know that they were using, so they would bop someone with a chain link. Like, so when Chain Slam would go out on a specific one, they were doing this. They would bop one person, one that wasn't targeted with Chain Slam, and they would run away from their partner to their partner would die to the chain link before the Chain Slam went out. And then there's nothing happened. And they would be risen.
Interesting. That's which, one way to handle it.
I wouldn't be surprised if that gets changed by the time I get there.
Yeah.
But or becomes unnecessary.
YouTube. Yeah.
But
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I didn't see any attempts like that, at least when I was watching, but I might have missed it. But yeah, I mean, other than that, there haven't been just a couple of weird like really the later bosses. Like the earlier bosses haven't seemed too buggy. Yeah. I will say though, like in terms of just looking at bosses, like Darkvein seemed a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't know, like just looking at that fight, looking at what it entailed, I'd assumed Darkvein was going to be like the last boss before Sludgefist to be killed, right? Not that Council would have been the boss that held everybody up. So
yeah, I think Council is just like, I didn't watch a lot of Council Prog, but it seemed like you really need people to not die. Because if anybody dies, you cannot push the bosses fast enough for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like that was like the tuning check, which, you know, I wouldn't have thought that was the issue, but but yeah, it was that was an interesting where it ended up being killed. I lost 100,000 gold on that one, so that was great.
Oh. You bet that Enerva would be
I bet that Enerva would live the first day.
Oh, and she didn't.
And she did not. She was killed by Limit at like,
yeah. Was it Council that they accidentally did off stream? They like turned their stream off because they were gonna do a little bit of Council Prog on Tuesday.
Yeah, they killed her like 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning, just randomly.
Yeah. They were not intending to actually kill it. They were just like doing some test pulls and didn't want that streamed because they weren't actually gonna continue progressing it. And they accidentally killed it, so.
Yeah. I wish I had that issue. It was just like, oh, man,
Killed
the boss. My bad,
guys. Oops, I killed the boss. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you were looking forward to another 200 pulls of this, but I guess we got to move on to the next one.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, I think, ultimately, though, other than Darkvein being somewhat fairly easy, the rest of them, I mean, not a ton of early bugs or, you know, major sort of like, hey, this boss was like a pushover where you thought it would be a little bit more difficult. So
it's good. Yeah, like,
very good too.
I think, you know, I have some frustrations with the overall like tuning / gear reduction. Like, I think they missed the mark, particularly on incoming tank damage.
Mm-hmm.
But or at least incoming tank damage compared to tank sustain. Somewhere in there, I think they missed the mark. But on the whole, like, I'm really liking the level of tuning things are at right now. Like, Heroic is good. Gonna be doing first few bosses of Mythic tonight. And I've been told Hungering Destroyer like destroys tanks. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gotten so bad, not so bad, but I think my guild toyed with, or just toying with the idea of like leaving a healer in on the, where you drop the orbs.
Yeah.
As long as you have a cooldown up. So like basically every time one of those run out occurs, healer stays in so they can soak their own orb and then also stay in range of the tanks.
Yeah.
So it's been, yeah, that's where we've lost a bunch of tanks is during that sort of movement.
Yeah.
So that boss is just, I can't wait till we're done. I can't wait to kill. All I want to do is kill it once. I don't have to kill it the first time. Like,
yeah.
I wish.
I mean, well, that's like, that I wish I could dressed myself, to death. My guild killed that boss before the nerfs. And then we never pulled it again until it was nerfed.
Yeah.
Which somewhat was because we killed Ilganoth after and then extended. But part of the reason we extended is because we did not want to be doing Ilganoth and Drastigath again.
That's funny. Yeah, I was hoping that Hungering Destroyer would be like, I've had a boss every tier that I haven't killed until we've killed the last one. So I've had like Ashvayne was my EP boss. Opulence was my like BOD boss. I forget what my Nyalotha boss was. It might have been I would have someone I had killed. Maybe it was Vexiona. Yeah, I didn't kill Vexiona until.
Oh,
actually, sorry. No, I tanked all of Nyalotha, so I killed everything in Nyalotha. Yeah, but like previous to that, when I was healing, there'd always be like one boss where I wouldn't kill until we killed the last boss, and I was hoping Hungering Destroyer would be that this tier.
Yeah,
I don't.
Think I never got happen. All the bosses. Like while BOD was current, I did not kill all the bosses. I was forever 8 of 9,
gotcha.
Because I played Paladin on Opulence.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't kill Opulence until like our second or third Jaina kill, like week after, because like every time we got to it, I was like, let's just make this quick, sub me. Like I just same healer comp. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean,
nothing
that's,
from this boss.
Like Opulence is not a very hard boss, but when people are just kind of checked out, this is on farm. Being able to bop people and just ignore the mechanic was super good.
Oh yeah, yeah. That and it was like.
Or sorry, it wasn't Opulence. I did get Opulence on my monk. I didn't get Rest.
Gotcha.
Because I did the cheese warp, never tank swapped in face.
Gotcha.
We just didn't. So. And that you can't do that with. You have to actually start tank swapping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, Hunger and Destroy will be. We go back in I think tomorrow night, so it'll be fun. Yeah. So cool. I think is there anything. I mean, else? I was going to say Nyalotha-wise, Nathria-wise.
I've made that mistake, too.
Yeah. In terms of, like, any other interesting tidbits, anything, things you've noticed or things you're excited for, stuff like that?
Like, this is... I have, you know, I neglected gearing my Brewmaster a little bit, and I've been catching up this weekend because gear still matters for Brewmasters, apparently. But... I'm pretty happy with where the raid tier is. I'm not super happy with how I played Friday night. But it's been cool to see the tier actually, like, heroics actually a real difficulty this tier. And Mythic, while Limit blew through the first 7, you know, on Tuesday, the rest of the world is, like, progressing it at a fairly reasonable rate. It's not Emerald Nightmare, if we were all scared of.
No.
It's not Emerald Nightmare.
No, not at all.
So it's good. Happy.
Yeah, I mean, I would even think it's even more difficult than like Eldir was, yeah. Which I think is ultimately a good thing. Like
Which if the Zul cheese hadn't existed, I don't know if the tier would have taken, you know, longer, because it's kind of like if Sludgefist, you could just, like, I don't know, stack Feral Druids and just delete the boss somehow. That's what Zul was.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was, yeah, without that, I think it would end up being, yeah, I mean, Aldir would have been good too. But I mean, we still killed, like, for us, like, I always like to compare my own progress, and like, we ended up having to go till Sunday. So we always do like flex content the first week. Like, we'll just, whoever's around randomly pull it. As long as we have 10 people, right? So normally that means like we'll do as much as we can on heroic the first week, get to everything but the last boss, and do the last boss like a Saturday or Sunday, like raid with whoever can be there. And this tier was like not that. Like we raided Saturday night, Sunday night, and I think we didn't kill it till like Monday.
Dinathrius is a real hard boss.
Yeah. So I mean I think if they do more like this type of, like, I'm fine with Heroic taking multiple weeks. Like, as weird as that sounds, like, I'm fine if Heroic and, like, if your first kill on Heroic mirrors, like, Limit's first kill on Mythic, like, at least, like, to the last boss, right? Like, I'm fine with that. Because I think a lot of times from a Heroic Raider perspective, you want to see that sort of, like you want to get in, you want to sort of, like, the challenge, right?
That is part of the reason that I actually made the jump from Heroic to Mythic during Legion, was, like, we cleared Antorus in a week as, like, a Heroic-only guild, which we had some players that, like, could compete with our current, you know, Mythic roster, I would say. Mm-hmm. But cleared it in a week. What are you supposed to do after that?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, the answer is Mythic. But I like having Heroic actually, even normal, like, it's very difficult to pug normal right now. You can get the first couple bosses, but if you try and do a later boss on normal pug, you're gonna be there a while.
I think the difficulty just being up in general, I think, is good, because I haven't walked into LFR, so I don't know how, you know, good, bad that is, but
I'm, like, not to touching me, that with a 10-foot pole, you could not pay.
Not for a little bit, but I think LFR is sort of that, like, I just want to jump in for an hour or two as an individual, see the raid, and then, like, jump out. Like, I don't think that should be normal. Like, I think normal should require some coordination. Like, your coordination and, like, your commitment goes up as you kind of get into Rogue, into Mythic. So, no, I mean, if they keep this sort of difficulty level moving into, like, Tier 2 and Tier 3 this expansion, like,
I think a lot of the frustrations that I have had, that other people have had, stem from the mismatched expectations. Like, we were expecting this to be closer to Uldir level. You're expecting this. Like, I was expecting, for example, Dagger to soft cap before. And it's not. It still really matters that I continue doing things to gear my Brewmaster, like, very proactively, instead of, like, taking the time to gear. And so this is, you know, if I have those expectations going forward next year, that, you know, I'm going to have to be really proactive in gearing my main, I'm going to have to be, you know, really prepared for these end bosses on Heroic, because they're really going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I just, it won't be as frustrating next year. Maybe still somewhat frustrating, but as frustrating, because I'll be expecting it. Like,
No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people in my guild were like, this is overtuned, like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, well, I mean, like, maybe it's slightly overtuned, but I think the difficulty being there is a good thing, like, for long, like, the long-term game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, like, you could have made the argument in BFA that, like, there was no space to be a normal guild, rating guild, because Heroic was such a small...
Exactly. Yeah.
If you could kill normal, then you could kill Heroic.
Yeah. I mean, like LFR is something you did to get runes, and that was it. You know what I mean? like no one actually did LFR for gear. Was like LFR to see the thing. It was more like you needed runes, so somebody did it. If you wanted to actually raid, you just pug a normal and, like, do it that way. So no, difficulty wise, I think it'll be good. It'll be good if they continue this, because I think this tier is, it's been difficult, but it hasn't been like, well, other than
it's been difficult, night, but it hasn't been bullshit.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll say other than the first night,
okay,
the first 2 days, I would agree with that statement. Like, Sin Seeker hitting for 10,000 damage a second is bullshit, but they quickly fix that. So, but barring those initial tuning issues, like, perfect, you know what I mean?
Like, so I mentioned earlier, Sire Denathrius in phase 3 really hurts the tanks. He hurts them a lot. It's, I'm okay with that. Like, it hurts, but it also feels like it's something that I can outplay. And I just have to put in the prep and the reps and or the reps to be able to outplay it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so I think difficulty wise, I'm excited to go through the rest of the raid. Like, all the fights seem, they don't, there's no, other than Hungering Devourer or Destroyer right now, I don't hate them. Yet, so but it should be good rest of the tier. I say hopefully we continue to have good things to say about it. So so cool. I think that's it on Nathria. Are we going into a little Q&A?
I think it is time.
Awesome. Well, of course, question and answer time, my favorite part of the show. where we get to answer your questions that you send us. So you can reach out to either myself or Emelson in, you know, Peak, or if you're into social media, I think both of us have Twitter. So you can reach out on Twitter.
I had someone today send me a DM on Discord with some questions, and they're gonna get answered. So
look at that. It's easy. You just reach out. We also sort of try and remember to ping people in Discord about questions coming up. I've been very bad about that lately.
Yeah, me too. I'm not gonna lie.
So, but we'll hope we'll get back on the train post holiday, post launch, and sort of push out a little bit more. So, so without further ado, your questions of the day. This one comes from Brodo Baggins. Is that,
I know that is that. Right.
Brodo Baggins, easy one this week, easy one. Brodo asks, so his first question, the first question, would be Soul Crusher from DOS. What's DOS?
The Other Side.
Oh, okay. Soul Crusher. Yeah, gotcha. Soul Crusher from The Other Side this week, key level dependent, of course. So this is around Soul Crusher, which is an ability the last boss does on the tanks, I believe, right? Awesome. How do you deal with it as a brewmaster effectively, as it feels like something isn't right when I've done, you know, 10, 11, or 12 on it? So curious if you have any advice for that specifically.
I wish I had a better answer, but right now my answer is cry a lot. Okay. So the way Soul Crusher works is he does this physical tank hit, Crush Soul. Very aptly named. Mm-hmm. And however much damage you take from that after mitigation is applied to you as a magic dot over like 8 seconds.
Okay. So it's like reverse stack.
It actually might be more than, I think it might do more than what you took. Whatever. It's based on the amount you took after mitigating. So if you mitigate more of it, then you take less damage. But notably, it ignores absorbs. And wouldn't you know it, stagger is an absorb.
Oh.
So brewmasters are basically taking like full damage
from it. Yeah.
Yeah. We have three cooldowns we can use if you're fast. Zenmed, you gotta be fast on this one. It's a 1/2 second cast. Around it's either a 1/2 second or 1 second. So you can Zen Med and take reduced damage. That's important. If you can get that one off, it's you have to run dampen harm instant, I would say. You just straight up are required to. You can dampen harm one, that will do 50% reduced damage. Mm-hmm. Fort Brew. Kinda sucks for you. Not gonna lie. A lot of Fort Brew's value is in the extra stagger it gets you. But it also has a 20% DR attached to it. It's real great for a 3.5 minute cooldown. And then beyond that, you need externals.
Not from a Mistweaver, that's for sure.
A Mistweaver is fine because Cocoon does enough to keep you alive. Like, you won't die from the initial hit. It's the dot that's scary. Celestial Brew by itself isn't going to do enough. But if you have Cocoon as well, then you're probably fine. And you can, on like a 10-12 key, even on Tyrannical, you can take the hit Celestial Brew for the dot, and be okay. Gotcha. It's scary, but you probably won't die. But you can also dodge it. And this is very hard right now at the level of gear that we have to be reliable. But you should pay attention, like get a weak aura that tells you when you have the dot. Because if you're using a damage reduction cooldown, you have to hit that first. And unfortunately, if you dodge it and wasted your cooldown, that sucks. But you don't take any damage, so I guess take the wins where you can.
Yeah.
But if you're just relying on like Celestial Brew or another absorb to absorb the dot, sit there for like 1/2 second after it goes out. Look at your weak aura. Do you have the dot? If you do not have the dot, do not press your cooldown. Any that's any kind of like life cocoon, celestial brew, anything like that. Because if you dodge it, you're doing real good. I have seen people in the Brewmaster channels talk about like back tanking it, which is this technique where you turn around away from the boss and let him auto attack your back. You cannot dodge it. Cannot dodge the melees. You stack up your mastery and you turn around for the crush soul. You always dodge it. That's very finicky. You can try it. It guarantees you take more damage from his auto attacks, which are easier to heal through. At the upside that if you can do it right, you dodge every soul crush.
Interesting.
Downside is if you're relying on that and you screw it up, you're taking a full damage soul crush. On top of way more damage from the melees just before it. So it's I won't recommend that as a general purpose solution, but it is something you can try.
Gotcha.
But yeah, awesome. Really, the real answer is get Blizzard to make stagger count.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a big oversight. So in terms of, yeah, deleting one tank's mitigation.
I mean, Blood Decay's got it really bad too, because like, what are they going to do? Hit Van Blood?
Yeah, that's true. They have nothing either.
Well, at least they can Death Strike off of the dog. So.
That's true. Joys of being a brewmaster. Terrible stagger. All right, Brodo. And Brodo's got a part two. Look at this kid getting double doses here. Yeah. I'm assuming, all right, we'll read the question here. But I would assume that his question is very brewmaster focused. We can sort of answer this in terms of just general also. So Brodo Baggins, that is, asks, if Mythic Plus was your main source of content with very little chance, if any, to raid at a 200 eye level or higher, would you suggest a PvP-oriented gearing path for the high verse or focus on building a mastery set due to the sheer amount of auto attacks you take in that world?
So there are two parts to this question that I think we need to address. First is the PvP part.
Yep.
And second is the stats part. So like, yep, the stats part is brewmaster specific. The PvP part is not. Do you have any thoughts on PvP gearing in them? Have you done any?
So I have, actually. So I've done at least enough PvP to give me one extra option on my chest each week. Yeah. Or this week, and I'll do it. I did it last week. I'll do it this week. So I've done, I think it's like 1,200 or so honor you'll need to collect. Yeah. And I've done that. I think if you are leaving something like that on the table, it doesn't actually take that long. It's a couple of, I mean, I did it in threes with some buddies over the course of like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we're not like highly rated. We hit 1,400, so like slightly better. But I think for these first few weeks, like that'll give you, what is it, like a 203 or 207 piece? Yeah.
1,400.
Yeah, so it's like a 207 piece. So it's going to, I mean, it'll help fill holes if you get a good piece in that area, yeah, right?
It's also something, there is a PvP vendor. If you go to the Conquest, like if you do threes, oh, yeah, and you go to the Conquest vendor, I actually used that. I still had a heroic dungeon cloak on because I just didn't have any drop. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the PvP vendor. I did a bunch of arenas yesterday, capped Conquest, and went to the PvP vendor and bought a 207 cloak, or it's a 200 cloak that then you upgrade with honor. But once you hit 1400, you can upgrade it to 207. 1600, it goes to 213, which is heroic eye level and fairly attainable. Windwalker is extremely good in arenas right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I would definitely encourage everybody to get, like, do some PvP. With the way gear drops right now, being able to go to a vendor and buy a piece that you haven't gotten yet is great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting extra vault options is also good, but it's way better, in my opinion, that you can just buy a piece for a slot that you have had terrible luck in. And yeah, I am honestly, like, having done it now, I have no idea why there's not a PvP. Like, why do we not get marks or whatever from bosses and dungeons, raid bosses and dungeons that let us go and buy that? Like, why have I done almost all heroic twice, all of normal twice, and still haven't gotten a cloak and just have no option through?
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, I think the PvP side of things is definitely something that can help out. And like you said, pretty easily attainable. Like, if my idiot,
you actually cannot lose rating until you, like, you can go up to 1400, and until you reach 1400, you cannot lose rating.
You actually just win your way to 1400.
It will take very long if you are losing constantly. But Windwalker is very good. Pro tip: if a rogue studs, you trinket it. But yeah.
Yeah, you know what's not that good? When you play Mistweaver with a warrior who hasn't played warrior in about 4 years and a undergeared warlock. Nice. That is That's a comp right there.
I know. I was getting super tilted by the fact that Touch of Death has this really big delay.
Yeah.
Which is the health threshold. It's so bad. Like, we had, I did a mix of threes and twos for Conquest Tap. And in the threes, like, they would reach 15% HP and they would just die. Or I could press Touch of Death. Because they just, it just took too long to turn on. It would take 2 or 3 seconds to turn on. It's like,
That delay is that, and like, or we were playing one game. We were playing, it was like Rogue Druid, like Resto Druid, I think Mage or something like that. Yeah. And we got the Druid real low, and I literally hit my roll button because I was like rolling in. I'm gonna touch it at this Druid. We're gonna win, and the Rogue cheap shot me in the middle, or not cheap shot, whatever. Yeah, kidney shot me. Sorry, kidney shot me in the middle of my roll, and the Druid healed to full, and we lost.
We lost the game because they had a shaman that was really low, their healer. I'm sitting there mashing Touch of Death, just mashing it. And it finally lights up, and by the time it's lit up, it goes off and they heal to full. Oh, all at the same time. So it did, 9k damage or whatever. Yeah. But now he's at 70% health.
Yeah, that bug's frustrating, and then PvP in general, like,
it's very bursty now. I wasn't joking when I said that for Rogue Sons, you hit your trinket.
I watched my Warlock literally die before the Rogue was visible on my screen. We played like it was like a Rogue Feral Druid, some other class, but like both the Feral and the Rogue jumped out, and like he was just gone. I was like, what? Like, what do you want me to do?
Rogue Boomkin, very scary in twos. Rogue stuns you. Boomkin convokes you, and you die. Very, very, very much need to press it, like press trinket, touch a karma of the rogue, press fort brew. Maybe even dampen magic, depending on how you're feeling.
Yeah,
it's everything. Very bursty. Press your cooldowns.
Like everything off the opener, yeah, yeah, and then you just wait, 2 minutes, and they have it back up, and you're dead at that point. So. Defenses aren't ready. So,
As far as for Brewmaster, the choice between versatility gear and mastery gear for dungeons, that's a hard one because mastery is very good, but a lot of the things that will kill you are magic damage, which mastery doesn't help. So, I would personally say, go with versatility mastery gear for Mythic Plus. It's a more defensive option. The mastery is still very good, but bias it towards versatility because versatility is damage, and you do need damage to time keys, and more effective against magic damage.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Not playing Brewmaster, but understanding some of the weaknesses you guys have in terms of magic damage taken, like being able to flat reduce that, because versatility works on magic damage too. So
getting mastery will help with things like Mazala, where if you end up at like 30% mastery, now you can start more reliably dodging it Soul Crush without having to resort to shenanigans like back tanking.
Yeah.
So right now I have like 15% mastery, so it takes 8 stacks for me to guarantee a dodge, and I'm not sitting there for 8 melees plus some blackout kicks trying to stack that up to 100%. Sorry.
Jesus. Yeah, that sounds a little dangerous. Well, cool. Well, Brodo Baggins, thank you very much for the questions, sir, or madam. And I think that is light Q&A day today.
Yeah.
So that's all we have for questions. So, I think that's everything, unless there's anything else you wanted to touch on.
Let me double check real quick, make sure they haven't killed, generals while we've been
here. Let me see what's
it's like. The there. Answer is no.
No, it's still alive. They just wiped.
Hello. Unfortunately, due to some technical issues, we lost part of the audio for today's episode. We will be jumping forward just a couple of minutes and resuming the podcast momentarily. Apologies.
I don't know what the topic is.
I think it's more raid stuff. I think it's just more raid stuff, because that's what we're both going to be doing.
Yeah, it'll probably be more raid stuff. It'll also be it's after Christmas.
Yes.
And before the new year. So I might have a special topic. I'll see what I can come up with this week.
Special.
Yeah, we'll see. It might be food related because I am cooking
Christmas dinner
this year. I'm also baking cookies on Wednesday. I'm very excited about both those things.
You gotta send me some cookies.
I'm not gonna reciprocate
because I haven't
Well, we know about your cooking prowess after we had a question, a couple weeks ago about that. So we're doing cookies and then some food. So maybe I'll have some topics like that. But yeah, probably more raid stuff. Hopefully the raid will be killed. You know, we'll see. We'll do like a quick little recap.
I'm calling it now. They're going to kill the Nathrias on Christmas Day.
That's the one thing I wanted to talk about real quick before we end. So yeah. So predictions. So you think Denathrius Christmas Day?
They're just hitting phase three of Stone Legion Generals today. They've been working on it since Friday, I want to say. Friday evening. So I would expect a Stone Legion Generals kill sometime tomorrow, sometime Tuesday. One of those 2 days. Gotcha. And like if they kill Stone Legion Generals either like late tonight or early tomorrow and spend the rest of the week on Denathrius, I would expect to kill Friday or Saturday. And so I'm just going to say Christmas Day. Killing it Christmas Day.
See, I have more faith in the elite raiders of World of Warcraft here. I think it's actually gonna be a Thursday kill, like a Wednesday Thursday. But I'll go Thursday. I'll go one day before because I agree. I honestly think a general's kill tonight gives him a full day tomorrow on Denathrius, and then with a reset of gear, getting back there. I think getting back there on Tuesday to Denathrius is gonna be difficult.
Here's a question.
Okay.
Do you think we will see anybody and their lockouts this weekend, not just Limit, but anyone?
No.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think after watching Limit do that on Gahoon and lose, I don't think any guild in their right mind extends ever
again. And especially because of how rare loot is right now.
Exactly, it's so
much better. Like with Titan Forging and things, like you could go and clear Heroic and hope for good Titan Forging, do Heroic splits and be okay.
Yeah.
It takes time, but you could keep the lockout if you're concerned about being able to like re-kill generals or.
Mm-hmm.
No Titan Forging, reduced loot chances. Like, they are 100% re-clear in this instance, unless they get like really close onto Nathrias in the next hours.
Yeah, I think that's what Tuesday is a re-clear. I also think Tuesday is splits. I think they end up doing potentially splits before they go back to the Nathrias too.
If they get
some pulls on it, yeah. And that way they get some more gear on some specific characters. So, But yeah, no, I think I forgot. I wanted to talk about predictions, but yeah, you're thinking Christmas Day, a little Christmas present.
Yeah,
is world first for who? North America or EU?
Oh, it's Limit.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, like I mean, right now Echo is tied with, and I know they had a day behind, so a little bit of a that they have now caught up and are on Stone Legion Generals is they have a chance. But
yeah.
I definitely think it's gonna be and not to say like I don't think it's a 0% chance or even like a 1% chance that Echo takes.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's maybe like a 10% chance, in my opinion. Like it's definitely possible. It could totally happen. I would not be very surprised to see it, but I do think that Limit.
Yeah. I think Limit's got it. Maybe not in the bag. I think you're right. It'll be close, but I think also that, Christmas Day kill. I think that's way too. I think it's got to be killed Wednesday. I feel like a Thursday or a Friday. Or, sorry, it's got to be.
Think about
Thursday.
It in terms of days of progression, right? Like they spent 4 days of prog on Sludgefest.
Yeah.
They have now spent. Two and a half days of prog on generals. And yeah, I'm expecting another day. So they're looking at about 3.5 days of prog on generals. Unless Denathrius takes less than that. Like if they kill generals tomorrow, that gives them 4 days of prog, would put them with a Denathrius kill on Friday.
That's true. Your math, look, you're good at math. I shoot from the hip. I shoot from the heart. I think it's got to be Thursday, but yeah, you're right. I could see a Friday kill. That just seems like a long tier. It's a very long tier. But yeah. But yeah, I mean,
I mean, I think it's different. Like Nizoth, we saw a kill on like a Wednesday or something following the reset.
Yeah.
But that, in that case, they'd already been progressing Nizoth on the first weekend.
That is true. So they've gotten more time. Yeah, maybe. I mean, okay. While I'm not going to change my answer because I already went with Thursday, I could see a Friday kill now.
Yeah.
You're starting to turn me around on that. But I mean, I think we'll probably talk next weekend and see who was
victorious. Who was right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just talk about my victory. We'll add it to the list. And then,
Yep. Anom wins world first. You heard it here first.
World first predictions.
Yeah. I think that is about going to wrap it up for our show today.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you all for coming and listening. Everybody who watched live, you know, thank you for showing up. And for those that are listening to this on whatever podcast app you're using, you know, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and all the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, like, for example, Eov has been writing dungeon guides and raid guides for brewmasters, and they are very good. If you want to support work like that, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. As always, we really appreciate your support, both, you know, financially through Patreon, but also coming and watching the show, coming and hanging out in Discord, just, you know, being a part of the community. So anyway, that is all for this week. See you next week.